What's up, loves? This is Taking Up Space, the podcast. This is a safe space for the raw and honest conversations that we're all dying to have, and some that we probably didn't know that we needed to hear. This space is for everyone. I mean, if you're a human, then this space is for you. I'm your host, Amanda Murphy. I'm a certified intuitive eating counselor, therapist, guru, feelings facilitator, health at every size advocate, but most importantly, I'm a fellow human, just like you. I believe that we more than deserve to take up every ounce of space on this planet that was meant for us. We are meant to not only bloom, but to flourish in our bodies and to live a life that is so magical, so authentically aligned to our soul's existence, that its radiance could be seen easily from the moon, no telescope required. I'm here to guide you through breaking the cycle of the everyday rat race, ditch diet culture, turn off autopilot, and turn the volume all the way freaking up on your soul's deepest desires, your purest magic that I just know without a doubt is deep inside of you, and to help you have the healthiest, most nurturing relationship with yourself ever, mind, body, and soul. What are we waiting for? Let's dive on in. Hi, love bugs. So the grand episode that we have been waiting for is finally here. I tried to record this episode, I want to say like a week-ish ago. And I even, honestly, that was not the first time I tried to record this episode. I just could not find the words. It felt very forced. There was some resistance around recording this episode up until this point, and I felt like I just needed to sit with, you know, being officially 30, maybe, and really collect my thoughts, I guess. That's the best way to put it. So I've done that, and I feel ready to finally talk about the things that I have learned throughout my 20s. And I say that like it's some epic shit. And truthfully, I mean, it might not sound like a big deal, like it's the things that I've learned in my 20s, but it is epic shit because they are really big lessons. And excuse me, I feel that they are lessons that if you said these things to me when I was 20, 21, 22 even, almost any part of my 20s up until recently, maybe this past year, I would have said absolutely not. Like, they would not have resonated with me one bit. And so I think it's important. So let's dive in to the very first one. So number one, and I loosely wrote these down, so if it sounds like I'm reading at some point, it's because I am. Number one, your approval is all that matters. Stop seeking validation from others. Man, is this a big one? And I know I did an episode about this, I don't know, probably a year ago by now, where we as humans, and I think women especially, you know, we strive so hard to be accepted, to be liked, to fit in, all those like terms. We desire to do them. We desire to be liked. And when it comes to the choices that we make in life, whether that be career, finance, vacations, family, just any personal decision, sometimes we seek approval of our choices from other people. While that's okay, and it's great to seek the opinion of those that you, you know, find very well respected, like somebody that you would highly respect their opinion and their thoughts and their perspective. But how often, when it comes to an outfit that you put on that maybe you're not sure of how you feel about it, a nail polish color, a hairstyle, a job change, you know, you're changing your career and you're just not 100% sure on it. So you ask people, maybe you call up your girlfriend and you are asking her, telling her all about it, asking her her opinion. Maybe you're calling up your mother or your father, your sister, your brother, your partner, whoever. You're talking to other coworkers if you should take another position in the company. Whoever the dynamic is, you're talking to other people. And now sometimes, you know, if you're married, you're in a serious relationship, you have children involved, if the decision's going to affect other people, absolutely you need to think about those things and take into their consideration. But going back to the smaller things like an outfit choice or our hairstyle or things like that, they're so small, but we sometimes will seek out the opinions of others. And, you know, maybe you're starting a podcast. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you're going to start a blog. Maybe you're going to start your own boutique. Maybe you're going to, you know, do your own adventure. You're going to start a new hobby. You're going to take a dance class. You're going to be that mom who wants to start a local Girl Scout troop because there isn't one in your town. Whatever the case may be, but you kind of just bring it to other people with the sense of you want to hear their opinion. And that's fine, but we have to be prepared that if their opinion is not our opinion, that shouldn't skew our opinion. If you ask me, I found that it seemed I was seeking validation for my choices. You know, the outfit, I think, is a perfect example. You know, especially when, you know, a lot of us are in the thick of diet culture. We have such a disordered relationship with our bodies and with eating. A lot of us have, you know, actual clinical diagnosed eating disorders. So much of that is going on that when we put on an outfit, maybe at first we like it. We love it. We like it. We feel good in it. But then we kind of look a little too long and we start to be, I'm not sure. And because of that, you seek the approval of other people. You might snap a picture to a friend before you go out, or when they do pick you up, or they get over to your house, or you see them at the restaurant, you say, hey, you know, does my outfit look okay? Is this too much? Is this inappropriate? You know, or you're just kind of, maybe you don't say any of that, but you're kind of hoping and waiting that you hear them say, oh, your outfit is to die for. And truth is, it doesn't matter. The only opinion that should matter, the only approval is yours. I think we feel we are seeking others' opinions, others' perspectives, when truth is, we're probably seeking validation, approval. That's what we're seeking. Because if you put on an outfit, you feel baller in it, you feel great, you feel like a queen, you feel on top of the world, you feel sexy, hot, whatever, and then everybody else hated it, why should that change how you feel? Just because everybody else hated it. You might be thinking of a career choice that just seems so perfect for you. It's the best option right now. There's so many reasons why this is just the greatest choice ever. But from an outsider's perspective, they're like, that's the worst job ever. Or that's the worst decision you could ever make. But they don't have the ins and outs. And even if you told them the ins and outs, they're not living your life. So truth is, I think we're just looking for approval to validate our decisions and our choices, to give us that extra reassurance that the choice we are making or the choice that we already made is a quote, quote, good choice. And that doesn't matter. All that matters is that you approve, you like it, you enjoy it, it works for you, it makes you happy, any of that. Because at the end of the day, you are the only person who has to live with your choices. You're the only person who has to wake up and go to bed every day, potentially dealing with any consequences that may result in the choices that you made, whether that's an outfit choice, a hairstyle choice, or a career change, a family decision, whatever. You are the only person who has to deal with that. Now, let me asterisk and say, of course, like previously mentioned, if it's something that affects other family members or other people, of course, you should take them into consideration. You know, you're not going to make the decision to up and move your family from California to Minnesota without consulting your partner, you know, or maybe some family members, perhaps. But I think you're getting my point when I say that sometimes I think we're just looking for others' opinions and perspectives on things. But really, we're seeking approval and a validation. And I know for me, when I see this kind of happen in my life over not the past year so much, but the prior years, I would see myself trying to head down this path of like this podcast, for example, or my Instagram page and my websites and my business endeavors outside of my current career as an occupational therapy assistant. I would always run it by other people. I would share with so many people, talk about it, and never really take the action. And I found that I would stall on actually taking that action the more that I talked about it and the more that I shared it with other people. And I just got caught up in finding that, girl, you're probably seeking the approval. Or like when I would go to one of my really great friends and I would talk to her about something, share something with her, and then I'd be kind of almost disappointed by the response that she would give me. And it wasn't that she would disagree or disapprove or not like it or have a completely different opinion. She just almost wouldn't say the words that I subconsciously were looking for. And so when she wouldn't directly say, like, that's a great idea in some way, shape, or form, or, oh, I love that, or, oh, that's great, or, oh, you're going to be great, or, you know, when she didn't give me, I guess, feedback that I subconsciously was looking for. And I say subconsciously because I don't know exactly what I was looking for, but I would just know there would be times where I would get responses from people and I would almost feel disappointed that they didn't just like come out directly and tell me what they thought. And I guess that's what led me to think that I'm probably seeking approval and validation for what I want rather than just getting their opinions and their perspectives. And so it just had me really kind of looking at how much I'm sharing with people. And am I sharing this because I want to share in the fun, in the greatness, in the excitement? Am I sharing this because I have to because it affects that person? Or can I just keep this to myself? It makes me happy. I love it. And then they'll just hear about it later. And it's not that we're keeping things secretive for other people, but like when I put an outfit on, I'm not going to snap a picture to somebody and say, hey, what do you think of this outfit before I walk out the door. You know, when it comes to my business endeavors, you know, the changes that I make and the new avenues and adventures that I decide to pursue with my business and my career, I'm not running that by anybody anymore before I take action just to even hear their opinion and perspective, because it doesn't matter. It's what I want. If it sounds great to me and it makes me happy, then that's all that matters. And so please don't get this confused with saying that you shouldn't share things with people or that you know, shouldn't seek the opinion of people, that you really respect their opinion. If, say, you are having a hard time making a decision or if it does affect somebody else in those types of situations, but just ask yourself sometimes, am I really seeking the perspective or opinion and the input of somebody well-respected, or am I just seeking approval and a validation? And I think the one way we can really gauge that is because if you're not having trouble deciding on something, if it doesn't affect somebody other than yourself, then why ask? Because if it makes you happy, it doesn't affect somebody else, and you don't feel like you have a hard time deciding, and it's either a hell no or a hell yeah, then there you go. You have your answer. You don't need to hear anybody else's opinions, approvals, perspectives. You just don't, because yours is enough. Yours is enough. And even if you start down the road of doing something or you make a decision and you're happy with it, you're solidified in it, it does not affect anybody else, or the people that it does affect are just as happy with your decision and others don't understand it, that's okay too. They don't have to get it. They don't have to understand it. And you should not let that shake how you feel about it, because there's going to be people who say things, whether you are white, black, purple, gray, polka dotted, whatever color dress you wear, whatever career choice you make, it doesn't matter. Like, you could go left and someone would say something, you can go right and somebody would have something to say. The point is, no matter what you do, somebody somewhere is going to disagree or have something to say about it. That's just the way, unfortunately, our society is. But it's also the most beautiful thing about our society in America, because we're all diverse, we're all different, we have different perspectives, different opinions, different views, different likes, different personalities, and that's what makes us so great, because we're all so beautiful in our diversity. So just kind of keep that in check and ask yourself. I know that that has been just phenomenal and so foundational in my last year. And like I had mentioned, I feel like when I would share all this stuff and I found myself seeking the approval and validation of others, it had me procrastinate and stall on things. Where when I just let my opinion and my feelings be enough, because they're more than enough, I tend to take action much more quicker, and I just do. And after I'm doing and I'm in the middle of it or I'm on the other side of it, then I share it with people, or when it just comes up naturally and it's not in a way of, what do you think? It's in a way of, hey, this is what I'm doing, like, and it really excites me, or this is how it's going. And it just changes the whole vibe, the whole flow, the whole trajectory, and just it really changes so much. Okay, so number two kind of goes with number one, but it's pretty much literally, and I know I'm not the first person who you're hearing this from, but you really need to forget giving a crap about what other people think of you, of your job, of your family choices, of the car you drive, of where you live. It doesn't matter. Anything and everything. Forget it. Because it doesn't matter. They do not have to live your life. They do not know how you feel in your life. They don't know what it's like to be you with your unique situation. And they don't have to deal with the consequences. And they don't have to wake up tomorrow dealing with the choices you made today. They just see it from a little window and a little glimpse into it, and then they get to walk away scotch-free from your life. From your life. You. Your life. And going back to what I was just saying previously is that somebody will always have something to say. It doesn't matter what you do, what choice you make. There's going to be people who like it, who approve, who think it's great. And then there's going to be people who don't. They don't get it. They don't like it. They just disapprove. They think it's disgusting. Whatever. You're just going to have somebody who has something to say, period. And we can really see that in the diet industry and with diet culture. And really like the beauty industry. And really in society a lot anyways, period. Like, you know, like, let's use the example of weight and with diet culture. If a woman is in a larger body, society may deem that she's too large. She's in a too big of a body, quote, quote. And they might deem her unhealthy just because of her size. And they have no idea what her health is because we can't judge health based on what we see. But they'll say she's too big. Her body's too big and she's just not healthy. That's what they'll say. But then somebody who is in a full-blown eating disorder and super thin, and I say super thin, quote, you know, in quotations based on society standards, you know, they'll say, oh, well, she's too thin. She's so skinny. She has no ass and her boobs are flat and et cetera, et cetera. But then somebody who has too big of boobs, like, oh, those boobs are so gross. Her boobs are so huge. And it's like, doesn't matter where you fall. It's always going to be something. And even if you're thinking, well, I'm in the middle and I'm not in a real large body, but I'm not in a small body. Think about, you know, even your own perspective. You know, we might have our own opinions on what we would think is too big of something or too little of something, or, you know, our preference on things such as like our boob size, or, you know, what we would want, how long we want our hair to be. And, you know, that's not to say that we're horrible people for having our preferences or our opinions, because we're going to have them. But my point is, somebody's perspective out there, somebody's opinion, somebody's view is going to clash with yours regardless. So whatever choice you're making, whatever you're doing, however you feel, there's definitely going to be plenty of people out there who just don't jive with that. But that's okay. Because why would you give up on your happiness in life because somebody doesn't jive with you? If you're waiting to be happy, if you're waiting to make your career move, if you're waiting to start that business, to go back to college, to move across the country, to have another baby, to never have a baby, to never get married, to get married for the fourth time, if you're waiting to do something in your life, regardless of what it is, until everybody approves, you're never going to do anything ever. In life, you are never going to do anything but wake up, go to work, be miserable, and die. And that sounds harsh, but that's the reality. If you give a crap day in and day out what everybody else has to think about what you're doing, how you feel, how you're living your life, you're going to stay so small. You're never going to work towards the things that really make you happy, that you really want to achieve and accomplish and do in life, the things that bring you joy. You're not going to be living in those things every day because you're too busy worried about what everybody else thinks. Your life is not for other people's to live. Your life is for you to live. You and nobody else. Okay? So really, seriously, if this is the first time you're hearing it, great. If this is the 100th time you're hearing it, great. But I hope it's the last time, regardless if this is the first time or the 100th time that you're hearing this. Let this be the last time. You need to let go of giving a crap about what other people have to say, what they think and what they feel. It does not matter. And let me tell you, I am somebody who's probably heard this hundreds of times throughout my 20s. And it was not until probably the last year, 2 years, that I really said, you know what? I don't give a flying F what anybody thinks. You know, I'm going to post what I want to post. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. I'm going to make these choices. And if I approve, that's all that matters. Nobody else has to understand what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. They don't have to like it. They don't have to agree with it. I'm the only one who has to do those things. And let me tell you, when I gave up on that, and I just kind of flow through life now with this sense of ease and this sense of happiness that, and this enlightenment and this light, airy feeling, and I guess I really don't have another way to say it, but it just feels so liberating. Like this weight has been lifted off of my chest, and to say that I got there easily would be a lie, would be such a lie, because, you know, we have so much to unpack. But, you know, through my years of healing my relationship with food and my body with intuitive eating, I'm going to tell you that was a huge part of so much of where I am in my life now, is healing my relationship with food and giving up diet culture for good. It was one of the it was hands down the best thing that I've ever done, because ditching diet culture, healing my relationship with food and my body, truly healing my relationship with food and body, digging deep to those micro traumas and those subconscious traumas that I just had no idea were still even there, doing all that work, asking myself the hard questions, being patient and knowing that it was going to take time, coming out on this other side, 5 years later, I know that I would not be here today if I did not heal my relationship with food and my body, if I did not go back to basics and do that. And it has pushed me into this point of so much, like so much more has come from healing my body, or my relationship with my body and relationship with food, and really becoming that intuitive eater that I was born as, because we're all born intuitive eaters. Society and diet culture messes us up. But getting back to that has helped open the gates to so much more. And one of those things is truly just giving up what everybody else thinks and just stepping into my soul's purpose, my alignment, and living life in such a free way. So free, so freaking free that I just wake up every day and I'm so enlightened. And I'm so, even on the days that I'm stressed and I'm tired and I just want to go back to bed, or I'm upset and I'm unhappy, it's still so different. It's still not a sense of defeat. It's not a sense of frustration. It's a low, it's a lull, it's, you know, a rainy day, but it still feels so great. And there's so much gratitude I feel like in every day now because of all that work I've done with intuitive eating and healing my relationship with my body, and getting to this point now where I just no longer care at all what anybody thinks. Like, you don't have to like me. I'm not out here doing anything intentionally to harm you, to hurt you, to disrespect you, any of that. I'm living my life for me and what makes me happy. And that's enough for me. And that shouldn't bother you. That shouldn't bother you. And that's going to, which I guess I wrote these down and I don't have to go in order. So let that be a segue into a number one, which would have been number six, but I guess we'll make it number three. And that is saying that, you know, your feelings about and towards somebody else, a lot of the times is a reflection on you, not them. And that ties in perfectly because, you know, if me living my life and me being happy and me just doing things that really bring me joy, and I'm not harming anybody else, I'm not disrespecting anybody else, anything of the sorts, then if that upsets you and you find some kind of resistance or anger or envy or jealousy or some kind of uncomfortable emotion, then that's a reflection on something going on within you rather than within me. And I have found this too when I would see other people and I would find myself feeling things such as envy or jealousy, or I would find myself feeling some kind of icky feelings towards somebody and then maybe something they're saying or doing or how they are as a person. And I really had to get down and dirty and ask myself, what is going on within me? Because this person, and I got kind of through a checklist of like, well, did this person do something to me directly that upset me? Sometimes the case is yes. You know, if somebody outwardly did something, whether they intended to or not, but if they did something that really just felt malicious or, you know, maybe because it wasn't intentional, still felt very upsetting and they hurt your feelings or they did something to really disrespect you, you know, everything obviously is situational, then sure, your feelings are valid. But if they're not doing anything and they're being themselves and they're living their life and they're doing them and, you know, they're just being themselves, living their life, and you feel a certain type of way about them or about their life and it feels like it's within you, it is. It's something to do with you. Because if we're all living our lives and we're not harming anybody, we're just doing what makes us happy, and somebody is upset with us when we didn't do anything, they didn't say, you know, what we did that actually triggered them to feel upset, that's on them. And sometimes that can be messy to really decipher. But I would notice that within myself when I think the comparisonitis really comes in sometimes with this. That's an easier example when you're scrolling like Instagram and things like that. And you do see, you know, things that probably make you feel things like jealousy or envy. Obviously, they're not doing anything to evoke that. They're not dangling anything in front of your face. And I mean, of course, we know that a lot of things on social media are not as they really are in real life for people. But my point is these feelings are something within you, and it just kind of says something more deeper about what you're going through, where you're at in life, what you want. And there's so much more there to unpack. And I mean, I would definitely, in a one-on-one session, I could blow your mind right now if we talked about this. But for the sake of this podcast episode, just know that that's usually a deep down root cause of something going on with you. Like maybe there's something you're not really happy with in your life, or there's something that you really long for or desire for in your life that you want, or maybe there's some situation personally going on in your life that, you know, this kind of triggered and things like that. And it's not always about the other person. It's sometimes about you. And so just know that, you know, when it seems like someone might be angry with you or upset with you or acting some way towards you, it very well just could be something going on with them and not something that you did. Of course, there's no black and white. Every situation is different, and this isn't the case for everything. We very well are responsible for our own actions. And so when, you know, there is something that we need to take ownership and be responsible for when it comes to maybe making somebody feel a certain type of way, of course, that doesn't negate this. But yeah, it's just something that I've noticed within myself that has really helped me learn more about myself. So I just had to bring that up. Yeah. Okay, so number four. Follow your desires, your heart, your passions, regardless of how silly they sound, no matter what you feel like others will think, because it will make you so happy. You're allowed to change your mind. And so I know that some of these kind of seem like they're mixing together, they're mushing together, and they are, but they still deserve a blurb of their own. And so I fully have experienced this one the most recently in the past year and a half, probably 2 years. Sometimes it sucks to feel like you've worked so hard over even the last year, last month, last week towards something, and then you're like, I don't want this anymore. I don't like this anymore. It doesn't feel right anymore. And that sucks. It does, because it feels sometimes like you've worked and you did all that for nothing. But sometimes you have to figure out what you don't want to figure out what you do want. And I'm a firm believer now, based on what my own personal experience, that a lot of us have to be keeping ourselves small and holding ourselves back from what we truly want, what truly makes us happy, where we're truly meant to go, our aligned soul's purpose, our aligned path in life, because we don't want to give up the old path that we've already paved. We don't want to give up everything we've already worked for, because we look at it as like we have to let it go for good, and that is such a horrible thing. We are often, I'm firmly believing now, the reason we are not our highest version of ourselves yet, the reason sometimes where we want to go, the person we want to be, seems so far away, is because we're not willing to let go of the old version of ourselves that we're still sitting in, that we've already curated and we've already become. And that's what's holding us back. Literally, in my business adventures, probably for the last year or so, it has felt so resistive and so frustrating. Like, everything felt hard. I felt like it was fake. I felt like it was very muddy, very confusing, and I just felt like it was so difficult. And I could never figure out why it felt like that. And I don't know, the light bulb came on one day, and I just realized, because you're not following your heart. And I don't know, maybe it was a journaling session, maybe it was just continuing to ask myself why and trying to get down to the nitty-gritty, but I just came to the realization that it's because I'm holding myself back from where I want to go, because it requires me to take a couple steps away from where I'm currently at and where I currently thought I was going. It's like, the reason it's so resistive is because I'm standing at that fork in the road, and the map that I'm holding in my hand was telling me, this is where you thought you were going, this is where I'm telling you to go, but your heart and your soul and what lights you up and your passion is telling you to go the other way. And so you have that choice. Try to follow that map in your hand of what you've already drew for yourself. Like, you already have the blueprints, you already have that map, you already put in that address in your GPS, and you're already on that path, on that trip to get there. Make that detour. Make that detour and decide that a new destination is okay. Change your freaking mind. It's okay. And I think because we feel we have to explain ourselves to other people, going back to what we were saying before about giving a crap what other people think and seeking their approval and then, you know, obtaining validation, that all plays into each other. Like, we want people's opinions. We don't want to have to answer questions as to, oh, I thought you were getting your bachelor's degree in biology. I thought you were doing pre-med. What do you mean you're going for journalism? We don't want to have to explain ourselves to people, but that's another story for another day, because you don't owe anybody an explanation. You literally can say, yeah, well, that no longer felt like a part of my journey. That wasn't something I resonated with, and this is what I want to do now. And I think as a society, because we have that bullshit, you know, little boxed bow and tie, little, lost my words, picture of the American dream, you know, like go to college, get a good job, have a family, retire, die. And I know that sounds very bleak and sounds very miserable, and I don't mean any disrespect if that's kind of the path that you're on or that's what you're working for. You do you, boo-boo. But what looks like the American dream, quote-unquote, for all of us is different. And I think because we have, like, these societal expectations of that you're going to go to college, you're going to get it done, you're going to move on, have a career. You know, you're not supposed to still be 40 and going back to school. You're not supposed to be, you know, 38 and, you know, deciding to give up being the next owner of the family business. Like, you know, we have these societal expectations of, like, things that we're supposed to do or not supposed to do. And I think because when we decide to change our minds, it often looks like we're going against that. And again, we're just wrapped up in giving a shit what other people think. If changing your major for the 16th time makes you happy, you go right ahead. Who else has to live with the fact that you changed your major for the 16th time? Nobody else is paying your student loans. Nobody else is doing the coursework. Nobody else is showing up to class. Nobody else is dealing with any of that but you. So why does anybody else's opinion matter? So what if you decide you want to have a 7th kid? I pray for you, because that's a lot of kids. But if that's what makes you happy, you don't owe anybody else an explanation on how you're taking care of those kids, or, you know, why you decided 6 wasn't quote-unquote enough. I mean, your reasoning is not anybody else's business. As long as it makes you happy and it's your decision, that's it. That's enough. And so I think the reason we're afraid to change our mind and follow our soul's path is for quite a few reasons. One being, what other people are going to think, their approval, their validation. You know, two being that it kind of sometimes seems like we're going against society's expectations, but fuck society's expectations. Like, if we're not going to care about our aunt's opinion on our business adventure, if it makes us happy, we're sure shit not going to care about society's. I mean, we just need to ask ourselves, does it make me happy? And that's all that matters. And I get maybe some of you are sitting there saying, well, quitting my job tomorrow and never returning to work is going to make me happy. I get it. You can't do that, because you're saying, well, Amanda, I can't do that. No, you can't do that. But honestly, probably staying at home and not having a way to pay your bills would probably make you more miserable than going to work. But that's not to say you can't make changes and make, you know, efforts to change maybe where you work, change what you're doing, and change your life and the way that it's structured and the things you do day in and day out to be in more of an alignment. And there's so much more to come on this that we are going to dive so far into. But just keeping it at the more surface level is that we're allowed to change our minds. We are. And sometimes the third reason I feel like we don't really do that is because it does feel sad and we have to grieve that. Like, I think I wholeheartedly, I know, and I still kind of am grieving the version, the expectation, the vision I had for myself of where I was going, what I was doing, and where I was headed. And I think because this one felt so strong and so clear and I was so sure on it at one point is why it feels like I have to grieve so long about it, because I've definitely changed my mind several times about things in life, about college majors, where I was going to go to school at. I've changed colleges several times before graduating. I have, you know, where I was moving, where, I mean, I've changed my mind on a lot of different things. Look at, think, I've changed this podcast name, twice. I have, had three different intros. My art cover has probably changed four times. You know, we change things all the time, but when it comes to bigger things, I think these are the three reasons why we kind of don't allow ourselves to change our minds and we stay small, because we're afraid of those things. But we are allowed to change our mind, and changing your mind is going to help you be more fulfilled, feel more fulfilled, feel happier, feel more joy and excitement and purpose and joy. I know I've said joy probably like three times, but to feel that in your everyday life is when you allow yourself to change your mind and be okay with it. And to head down a new path and to just choose differently, because maybe what was working for us last year, last month, last week, yesterday, 3 hours ago, it's not working for us anymore. And that's okay. That is perfectly, perfectly A-okay. Okay, so number, I don't know, what are we on? Five. I think we're on five. If I'm wrong, forgive me. Okay. So number five, treat others how you want to be treated. Period. So I know that we've all heard that since childhood. You know, we've probably been told that as a young kid, treat others how you want to be treated. So this is definitely not the first time I'm sure any of you are ever hearing this, but I want to expand on this. This is one of the more recent things I've learned too, personally, in my 20s. This has probably happened. This is probably the most recent. You know, I think when things happen to us or in our life, and we have a feeling about it, we feel offended, we feel upset, we often just are consumed by our own feelings and our own perspectives. And we should be, because our feelings are valid no matter what. There's not a single person with a single feeling that's not valid. How we feel about anything is a valid feeling. That's just a truth that will never change. Our feelings are valid. However, sometimes, a lot of the times, we should think about how we want to respond and react about our feelings. And I'm trying to think of a way to explain this without giving like an example. The example that actually I went through, because I don't want to divulge too personal of information. But hold on, I'm going to think on this. BRB. Okay, so the best way I think I can explain it in my example is that, you know, something happened. And by this person's actions, I was really upset. And the way that I perceived what was going on, what was happening, the other person's feelings and kind of their reasoning, just the whole situation, I felt offended and I was really upset. And this person was a great friend of mine. But then I stopped and I thought to myself, you know, if this person's your friend, Amanda, what kind of a friend would you want? In this situation, what kind of a friend would you want? Sure, you're upset, and your upsetness and you being offended and disrespected, however I was feeling, yes, it felt very real. And it was. My feelings are very valid. But at the same time, can I put myself in the other person's shoes and understand what is going on? Can you put yourself in the other person's shoes and just see it from their perspective and see things a little bit differently? And that's not to say that if you were to do that, that you don't say anything about it, you don't bring it up, you just shove away how you feel, anything like that. But I think if we take the time to put ourselves in other people's shoes, see what's going on from a different perspective, and ask ourselves, if I was in that person's situation, how would I want that? How would I want myself to approach it? How would I want myself to handle it? You know, if roles were reversed, how would I want someone to treat me in this situation? And I think it really, really helps to, for me, I just know it helped me to approach the situation in a much more loving and compassionate manner, and to have more compassion, period. And so that's not to say that by putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, you just, since you can maybe see it from their perspective, that you just ignore how you feel, and maybe you don't have a conversation, maybe you don't try to resolve things or find a resolution or anything of that. But it just helps you find a way that you want to approach it and handle it with that person. And because I think so often, myself and everybody, like, we can react from our feelings rather than react from a place of rationale. And I think when we stop and we think about how somebody else might be feeling in the situation, look at things from their perspective, and ask ourselves, how would I want to be treated? How would I want someone to go about this situation if roles were reversed and it was me on the other end? Gives you a sense of how you want to truly be as a person, reacting to how you feel. Because how often has there been times where you react and you say something, you do something, and then you're later regretting it, and you're like, I wish I handled it differently. By doing this and really thinking, how would I want to be treated in this situation if this was me, really does help to eliminate you responding and reacting in a way that you're going to later regret. And I know it just sounds so silly and so simple, somewhat, like, you know, how many times have I heard treat others how you would like to be treated? But do we really? And do we really take the time to put the shoe on the other foot, feel it, see it, think about it as if we were the other person, and respond and react accordingly? Do we really do that? I don't think so, because I know I wasn't always. So now I definitely have that as a staple in my life, treating others how I want to be treated and taking the time to look at somebody else's perspective of things first, and really putting that shoe, truly putting that shoe on the other foot. All right, so last but not least, because I don't want this to be too long that, like, you guys are dying out there, but I think one of the biggest ones over the past 10 years that is, like, the overall blanket, well, that's a lie, they're all kind of a blanket lesson, but one of the big ones, the most impactful ones, is that you need to turn inwards and don't be afraid to feel your feelings. So often, we just get so caught up in the rat race of life. You know, we get on autopilot, we're doing the things, the things that we think we're supposed to, that we've been told to. The expectations may have been set by somebody else, by society, ourselves unknowingly, and we never stop to check in with ourselves. You know, going back to saying that it's okay to change your mind, we're not checking in and just making sure that we're really approving of these things and that these things really do bring us joy. We're not checking in with ourselves, and we're just going with the flow, we're going on autopilot, and we're not stopping to gauge where we're currently at, what we feel. And ask ourselves, do we need to pivot? Do we need to change? Am I truly happy? Is this enough? We don't ask. More so when we do feel feelings of uncomfortableness, like maybe you asked, or maybe you know, took note and took acknowledgement of it, and it's, you've realized something's just not okay. Well, do we do anything about it? Like, do you ask yourselves where these uncomfortable feelings are coming from, when maybe you're not feeling happy? Maybe you're rather miserable. Maybe you're upset all the time. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe life is just not what you want. Have you asked yourself why? Going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think I mentioned it a couple times, sometimes you have to figure out what you don't want to figure out what you do want. And in order to really know, you have to ask yourself these questions. You have to sit with how you feel. And when we feel sad, when we feel upset, when we feel uncomfortable, we never sit and ask ourselves why. We never follow that down the rabbit hole. We just try to bury it, try to shove it away. We drown it out, whether that's, you know, with different substances, you know, like drugs, legal and illegal drugs, prescription pills, marijuana, whatever. And a side note, you know, I'm not saying my beliefs. I'm just saying, you know, we all have our quote unquote drug of choice, or whether it's alcohol, maybe it's maybe quote unquote healthier, and it's, you know, maybe you're immersing yourself in writing, or I don't know. We all have our outlet, right? And we just kind of find our way to shove down that feeling and move through it as quick as possible to get rid of it. But we don't actually ask ourselves why we're feeling this. Like, where did it come from? Why is it here? What is it trying to tell me? Because it doesn't matter if it's an uncomfortable feeling, if it's a horrible feeling, if it's a positive feeling. A feeling is a feeling, and it's here for a reason, and it's trying to tell you something. That feeling is here for a reason, and it's trying to tell you something. And I said that a second time for emphasis because it's true. It doesn't matter what you're feeling. That's there for a reason. Like, let that sink in. Like, I could say it a fourth time. It's there for a reason, and it's trying to tell you something. And unless we stop to listen to it, to really figure out, why is this feeling here? Why am I feeling this? I mean, that's the key to everything. Your life, your happiness, everything. And I'm just going to say that and kind of leave it here, because all of the other things that we've talked about in these 45 or so minutes have been discovered, and I have really gotten to this place. I've gotten through my intuitive eating journey, you know, to become a true intuitive eater and heal the relationship with food and with my body by asking these questions, by asking my feelings, what are you here to tell me? And beyond, you know, I mean, my journey is always forever going. There's never that destination. This isn't Hogwarts. We don't ever just arrive. It's completely ongoing. It's like we hop on the train and the destination and the scenery change. Or I guess I should say the destination. But the scenery and our current situation changes as we chug along on that choo-choo. But we never actually arrive and get off that platform and we're done. That never happens. But our scenery along the way changes when we ask ourselves why our feelings are here and what is it trying to tell me. You can learn so much about yourself, and that can change so much of your life just by asking yourself, why is my feeling here? What is this trying to tell me? And let me tell you, that has been the single-handed biggest game changer in my life over the past 10 years. And it took me a long time. It probably wasn't until the last 2 years that I really started. I mean, I think I probably had been doing that with the help of others 5-6 years ago, but it really wasn't up until the last 2-ish years that I was able to do it on my own. Which is why I think that, you know, I mean, even therapists have therapists. So I am a certified intuitive eating counselor, and I have employed the help of other intuitive eating counselors. I am, you know, working towards my master's as a clinical licensed mental health counselor. And so, I mean, I've employed other counselors to help me through things, you know, other coaches, and I've definitely never gone along single-handed. And I've even thought recently, it just never hurts to have a therapist. So that's on my radar. I'm kind of experimenting with who and what type of therapy that I would like to immerse myself in, because it's we can't do this alone. You know, we can do some things alone. Like I said, I've gotten to a point where now I know I can ask myself the hard questions myself and sit with my feelings and do this work on my own most of the time. But that's not to say there's not times, moments, events, things that I encounter and go through that I will not need the help of somebody else to work through it. Because an outsider's perspective, especially somebody who is intuitive and really grounded in the therapeutic work of, you know, emotional, traumatic, somatic, physiological, psychological, and really has a grounded, connected understanding of how that all works, really helps you pull all of this stuff out that you didn't even know was there. So if there's anything that you do take away from anything I've said in the past 40 some minutes, it's please let it be that. Your feelings are here for a reason, and they're trying to tell you something. Don't ignore them. Ask yourself why you're feeling how you feel. Unravel that. follow it down the rabbit hole, because you will learn so much about yourself, about your life, about what makes you happy, what makes you tick, what makes you miserable, and it will change your life if you listen to it and you take action from that place. You let that be your roadmap to your happiness and your fulfillment and your joy, and it will literally transform your entire effing life. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening to all of the wonderful things that I've learned in my 20s. Your girl is officially 30, August 26th. Shout out to fellow Virgos. I know Virgo season is still ongoing, so happy birthday to all of my fellow Virgos out there. If you share August 26th as your birthday, hit me up. Let me know that we are sisters in this universe and we share the same birthday. And if that is your birthday and you didn't know that we share a birthday with Mother Teresa, and that is also the day that the 19th Amendment was ratified and women got the right to vote. So it is International Women's Day. Those are some facts about August 26th. I'm kind of a nerd. Melissa McCarthy is also August 26th, so we share a birthday as well. So yeah, I'm a birthday nerd. Birthdays are a huge thing to me. So the Dirty 30 was huge. I went to New Orleans, and it was kind of a crazy show. So for anybody who is just interested, it was planned for like a year or more to go to New Orleans for my birthday. So we went. We had all the flights booked, Airbnbs rented, everything. And Hurricane Ida decided to form and smack New Orleans. And thankfully, me and my two girlfriends that I went with, we flew out on Saturday before the Sunday that it hit, just luckily. And that flight was already planned, so it just worked out beautifully. I got to experience New Orleans. It was amazing. If you've never been there, you definitely need to go. The culture, the personality, the history, the character, it's gorgeous. It's amazing, and it's so enriched. It's just a place to definitely be. And of course, my heart goes out to all of those that were affected by Hurricane Ida. It was kind of eerie. You know, it was very, I don't even know the words to say, strange, eerie. And like my heart definitely felt it leaving on Saturday. It definitely felt it. So for those who are still recouping, it's going to be a long recoup from what I've read and what I've seen from New Orleans. So for those of you who might actually be in Louisiana in the area listening to this, my heart is with you. If you have family members, loved ones out in that area, my heart is with them. But it was definitely an amazing experience, and I will definitely be back to NOLA for sure. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this super long episode. I don't usually do episodes this long, so this was a nice change. But until next time, loves. Hey, guys, thanks for joining me on another episode of Taking Up Space, the podcast. And if you're loving these episodes as much as I am, please, the best thing that you can do to show your love and appreciation is to share the podcast episodes with those that mean the most to you, with those that you feel would appreciate and get something so beneficial out of these episodes, because that is the sole purpose, is to reach as many people as we can and to help affect and change so many lives for the better. So I love that you were here with me, and until next time, guys, bye.